the end of Parashat Noach. Okay, if you look at the end of Parashat Noach, page 53, the Torah tells us in verse number 31, Terach took his son Avraham and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and his daughter-in-law, Sarai, the wife of Avraham, his son, and they departed with them from Ur Kasdim to go to the land of Canaan, and they arrived in Haran, and they settled there. So we are all familiar with the famous commandment of Hashem to Avraham, where he tells him, go to the land of Israel. But as we see here, it started really before the journey towards the land of Israel, and it was the initiation of the initiative of Terach. And it was because Nimrod wanted to kill Avraham because Avraham believed in a God, right? So in order to escape from this environment, Terach took his family and went to Haran on the journey to Israel. But somehow, in the middle of the journey, when they arrived to Haran, they remained there. And Terach really finished his life there. He was there for 60 years after Abraham departed. And why did he go? Why did they go with the intention to go to the land of Israel? Because it was known that the land of Israel is special spiritually. And being that they ran away because of spiritual reasons, they went towards the land of Israel. But they got to Haran, settled there. And then we have the famous saying of Hashem to Abraham, Lech Lecha. The first time Hashem speaks to Abraham, the first two words are go. We find the words Lech Lecha later on too, in the famous test of Akedat Yitzchak, when Hashem tells Avraham to bring Yitzchak as an offering. Again, the words that he tells him is Lech Lecha, go. And all through the story of Avraham in the Torah, we find a lot of discussion about Avraham's journeys. And I want to look today into those journeys and what's their meaning. So on the simple level, Hashem tells Avraham, go, leave your place, leave behind everything, your land, your town, your family, and go to wherever I'll show you. But commentaries speak a lot about the Lech Lecha on many different levels. I want to bring today a Baal HaTurim. Baal HaTurim says here something very interesting. He says it's written Lech Lecha two times, and the word after is Me'artzecha. On a plain level, it means leave your land. Baal HaTurim says it also means that after you come to the land that is yours, after you are already in the land of Israel, you will leave two times. There will be two exiles from the land of Israel. One after the destruction of the first temple, and the other one after the destruction of the second. Two times going. So it's very interesting. In the first two words that Hashem speaks to Abraham, he doesn't speak just to Abraham, but he tells him about the future of his children, of the nations that will come out of him. Now, that's not easy to start a nation. And here already there will be two exiles. But Hashem still says it to Avraham Avinu. And Avraham Avinu has to start on a journey, knowing that he's not the only one who will go on the journey, leaving everything behind and going to a new place that is not familiar. But in more difficult circumstances, it will happen to his children. Okay? So Avraham comes to Eretz Israel, right? And the Torah describes to us what happens there. So if you turn the page, okay, we are now in page 56, verse number 9, the Torah tells us that Avraham is already in the land of Israel. Then Abraham journeyed on, journeying steadily towards the south. Abraham came to the land of Israel, and he's starting to journey in the land of Israel. Two reasons. A, Hashem told him, go to the place that I'll show you. So Abraham is continuing to journey, to go till Hashem will tell him to camp. And Hashem said it to him when he came to Shechem. So he's traveling. Okay, this is written already before. If you look at verse number 6, it's written that Abraham came till Shechem, right? And then Hashem revealed himself to him. And then we are told another journey is going towards the south. Why? So Rashi says that he's really going towards Jerusalem. Jerusalem is more to the south than Shechem, and Abraham is going towards the south. And it's haloch v'nasoa. Vayisavam haloch v'nasoa, meaning it's an ongoing journey towards Jerusalem, with a few stops on the way. Obviously, when we hear Jerusalem, and we know who is the traveler, Abraham, so we understand that he doesn't say only a geographical place where Abraham is going to, but he tells us what Abraham is going towards. He's going to what Jerusalem has to offer, a place of the revelation of Hashem. So the whole journey is not just a physical journey, of course, but Abraham is going constantly towards Jerusalem, the place where Torah is coming out from, Ki Mitzion Tetzeh Torah, from Jerusalem. Torah is coming out, Udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. So he is going constantly towards the south. And then, right after we hear, Vayehi Rav Ba'aretz, there is a famine, the next pasuk. There was a famine in the land, verse number 10. And then again a journey. He didn't even finish his journey yet, right? Came to Shechem, from there he's traveling towards Yerushalayim, and he's faced by a famine. So he has to travel again to find a place where there is food. But let's see what the term that the Torah uses in order to describe that Abraham went to Egypt. It doesn't say, Vayelech Abraham Mitzrayma, but if you look in the Pasuk, it's written, and Abraham descended to Egypt. So on a simple level, Egypt, vis-a-vis where Abraham goes, is towards the south. It's going down. That's on the simple level. But when the Torah says, Vayered Avraham Mitzrayma, like the whole story of Avraham, it's not just telling us about the technical details of the journey, but it was a descent for Avraham. Avraham left everything behind in order to come to the land of Israel. And as soon as he's coming to the land of Israel, he's facing a very difficult test, poverty. There is no food. There is no ability to sustain himself and his family, so he's going down in terms of his status, in terms of what he has. It's a test, it's difficult. So he's going down to Mitzrayim. Hashem is testing him with what we call in Hebrew, Nisyon Ha'oni, the test of poverty. Not even bread. And as we all know, he didn't question, and he's going down to Egypt. And there, the famous story, Sarai is taken away by Paro, right? And the end of the story is that Abraham can go back to the land of Israel. Paro gives him many gifts when he discovers that Sarai is his wife and he knows he cannot take her as a wife, right? He sends Abraham back to the land of Israel, send him out of Egypt, but he gives him a lot of presents. So it's a very big switch in the situation of Abraham. He was a traveler, a poor traveler, going from one place to the other, and now he's coming out with plenty. I want us to see how the Torah describes it. Okay, so in the same page, verse number 16, the Torah tells us, and he treated Abraham well for her sake, and he acquired sheep, cattle, donkeys, and so on. So the Torah tells us now he has a lot. Okay, then he takes Sarah, right? But then he discovered that she's his wife. So we go further to the next page. Chapter 13, Avraham leaves Egypt. And what does it say? Verse number 1, page 59. So Avraham went up from Egypt. If before he descended, now he went up. And again, it has a dual meaning. He went up geographically because he's going towards the north. And also, his situation changed. Now he's rich, right? So let's see. He with his wife and all that was his, and Lot with him, to the south, right? Now Avram was very laden with livestock, silver, and gold. Very laden is a translation of the Hebrew word kaved. Kaved is heavy. So Artsroll translated, very laden. He had a lot of things with him. But the Torah uses the word kaved. The word kaved means heavy. And it's used not only for physical heaviness. If I carry a lot, I'll say it's heavy, physically heavy. But we speak also about rav kaved, a heavy, a difficult, a hard famine. Right? We use the term kaved. It's used in general to say something that is hard to carry, not only physically, but emotionally, spiritually. It's heaviness on all levels, right? So the Torah describes that when Abraham leaves Egypt with the plenty that he has, it's heavy. Now, right after, we are told that Lot also comes out with gifts. If you look at verse number 5, also Lot, who went with Avram, had flax, cattle, and tents. So he became rich too in Egypt. And we are not going into why and how, but he became rich too. But here we don't have the word kaved. He's not laden with. He just has this and this and this. But by Avraham it's written, is laden with, it's kaved, it's heavy. And the Gerer Rabbi explains it very, very beautifully. It seems to us a person was so poor at a time of famine, he didn't even have the ability to eat, right, to buy food. He has to leave the land, he goes to Egypt, now he's coming back with a lot. His heart should feel lighter, right? But interestingly enough, the Torah describes it was heavy. How come? Why by Lot it's not written that it was heavy, just what the fact that he had is mentioned. And by Avraham it's written that it's very heavy for him to carry all of it. Because Avraham looked at everything from a godly perspective. What is demanded from him now? Now he is faced with the test of having. Between the two tests, not having and having, it's not so simple to decide which one is the easier one. It's common to think, according to Judaism, that the test of having is even harder than the test of not having. Now, of course, on a physical level, having is very easy and not having is very difficult. But spiritually speaking, the challenges that come with having is harder to overcome. It's harder to do the will of Hashem while being rich than to do the will of Hashem when things are difficult. And we know it from our experience. When things are difficult, who do we approach? Of course, Hashem, and we ask him for help. When a person is successful, he might forget that it's coming from Hashem and to feel that basically everything he has comes from Hashem is not an easy test. So the Torah tells us Avraham feels the heaviness of the test, while Lot just has. And he comes back to the land of Israel, and the Torah discusses in verse number 3, right after. Verse 3, yeah. He proceeded on his journeys from the south to Beit Kel. Pay attention to what's written. The Torah again discusses his journey. Right? The Torah doesn't say he left Egypt and came to Beit Kel. The Torah discusses the journey. And as I said in the beginning, this is the story of the life of Abraham, journeys. Right? A lot of this is discussed about it. What is it telling us that he went on journeys? So Rashi says something very interesting. When Abraham descended to Egypt, he didn't have money. He had to stop on the way in different inns, different places that he could sleep a night, eat something, but he didn't have money to pay. So he did it on credit. Now that he came back from Egypt, he went to the same places to pay off what he owed and stayed in those places for the night that he had to rest till he will come to his destiny. Now, this didn't have to happen. He could just come, pay off, and now that he has money, maybe to go to places on a higher level instead of 3 stars hotel, maybe 5 stars hotel. Not Abraham. Nothing changed. He's going to the same places that he felt comfortable with when he didn't have money, when he didn't want to spend too much money. He goes to the same places now. And we learn from it that a person should not change his place of dwelling if he became richer. There are many stories about great people who went to different cities and were hosted by different people. And when they were not yet famous, they were hosted by people who were not so well-to-do and are not so famous. When they became famous as great people, they made sure to stay by the same people that they stayed when they didn't have money. Meaning the money did not change, and it's the right thing to do. Now that you have money, you don't feel comfortable staying in my home, only when you are poor, right? So that's a derech eretz, a way of behavior that the Torah teaches us. That's what Rashi says. But it shows us also something very interesting, that for Abraham, having money, not having money, did not affect his behavior. He was the same Abraham when he was poor, and he was the same Abraham when he was rich. His focus was, in both situations, on how could he do what is right under these circumstances, easy or difficult. And in this way, he's paving the path for us. As we saw already in Lech Lecha, the Torah doesn't speak only about Abraham. The story of Abraham is the story of the Jewish nation, and Abraham is preparing the path for us. So Abraham prepares the path for us to be able to deal with any situation and not lose ourselves. Not to become discouraged when we don't have, not to become arrogant when we do have. We have to do the same thing, to be the same person when we have, when we don't have, and just use the situation and the means that Hashem gives us according to His will. The question will be, how can one do it? Will go further with the journeys, and we'll come to the question at the end again. So Abraham is coming back to the land of Israel in the same way that he was before, okay? Now, he goes on his journeys, we said, in plural. And the Torah tells it to us, Vayelech lemasaav. Why did he have to stop many times now? Because he had a lot of things with him. When a person goes with a light suitcase, doesn't take too long to journey, right? But when you go on a journey with cattle and sheep and a lot of gold and silver and so on, it takes much longer. But Abraham did not settle all along the way. He continued to walk, continued to go, till he came to Beit Kel, says the Torah, if you go further in Pasuk 3, right, the same page, he proceeded on his journeys from the south to Beit Kel, to the place where his tent had been at first, between Beit Kel and Ai, to the site of the altar which he had erected there at first. And there Abraham invoked Hashem by name. So the Pasuk says, it was a long journey with many stops because of all the heavy things that he carried with him. What was the goal? To come to the same place that he left Israel from, Beit Kel. What was Beit Kel? A place that he built an altar when, right after he came to the land of Israel. I want you to go to the previous page, 57, and let's compare what's written about Avraham in Beit Kel before and Avraham in Beit Kel now. So in verse number 8, page 57, it's written that Avraham is now in Beit Kel, right? From there, he relocated to the mountain east of Beit Kel and pitched his tent with Beit Kel on the west and Ai on the east. And he built there an altar to Hashem, exactly like we have in our Pasuk when he comes back from Egypt. And the Torah adds there, and again, then Avraham journeyed on, journeying steady towards the south, there, and he built there an altar. Okay? So the same story that happened when he arrived to the land of Israel, he built an altar and called in the name of Hashem. When he came back from Egypt, he doesn't settle till he comes to the same place where he built the altar, so he can continue to call in the name of Hashem. So Avraham did not change. He made Hashem known as soon as he came to the land of Israel. This was his life mission. He did it before he came to the land of Israel. And when he came into the land of Israel, he built an altar and made the name of Hashem famous. Now his situation is very different. But his focal point did not change. He goes further to Beit Kel, the place where he built an altar before, and continues to call in the name of Hashem. His mission was not affected in any way. Okay? Now I want to go to another place where we find Avraham walking. Okay? If you go to the story already in Vayera, and I'll go a little bit to Vayera also, to next week's portion, because I want to see the concept of journeying in the life of Avraham all through. So we started with the end of Noah. We went now through Lech Lecha. We'll come back to Lech Lecha soon, as you'll see. And we are going now to the beginning of Vayera, the famous story where Avraham invited three angels to his house, hosted them in a royal way, and when they left, the Torah says that he went with them when he sent them away. So Avraham is walking again. And what does the Torah emphasize? He had guests. Not only does he invite them to his house, not only does he give them the most delicious food and makes his whole family involved in the preparation. Not only does he treat them as royalty, but when they leave, he goes with them, he walks with them, so they'll feel that it's hard for him to let them go. Makes a person feel well when the host goes with him, right? And indicates that he really wants a continuation of what was created when the people were at home, that the continuation of the relationship will take place. So he is going with the guest to accompany them. And right after, Hashem tells Avraham that he is going to destroy Sodom. And the Sforno says, why did Hashem tell Avraham? If Hashem wants to do something, he has to tell Avraham. That's a question that all commentaries deal with, Rashi as well and all others. But when you have a very good friend, you want to tell him if you're going to do something significant. Let alone when Hashem gave Avraham the land of Israel, so the citizens of the land of Israel become his, right? So obviously it's the right thing to tell him. And Hashem does it because Abraham accompanies the guest. Meaning, if you are such a person who behaves in such a way, one mitzvah will give you the opportunity to do another mitzvah. Because as we know, Abraham prayed for Sodom. So Abraham is on a journey based on the commandment of Hashem. He's not just coming to the land of Israel, he's constantly on a journey. And every stop on the journey, Abraham is looking for a way to do it in the best fashion, in the best way that Hashem would like him to do it. Okay? So that's another walking of Abraham. I want to go now to the most difficult journey of Abraham, the end of Parashat Vayera. And we'll see that in this story, the 10th test of Abraham, the Akedah of Yitzchak, it's page 101. It's described as a journey. Hashem doesn't tell Abraham, I want you to offer your child. Go. It starts with Hashem tested Abraham and he told him, take your son and go to Eretz Amoriah. Lech lecha, the same two words as we had in the beginning of the story of Abraham Avinu. Lech lecha. And where should you go? To a place that I'll show you. So Abraham has to go. He doesn't know where to. And our sages tell us that Abraham walked for 3 days. Now let's think about it. Hashem tells you, take the son, the only one you have, the one that was born to you miraculously when you were 100 years old, the one that has to establish the Jewish nation, and he is told, go, bring him as an offering. Yes, Abraham will do it. But Hashem makes it the most difficult test for Abraham. Because, okay, Hashem tells him, Abraham is ready to do it. You want to be over with it. It's not so simple. Hashem tells Abraham, walk, I'll show you where to stop. For 3 days, Abraham has to be with Yitzchak, knowing that he's going to bring him as an offering and be able to walk further. That's not simple. To do it right away, one thing. To walk for 3 days till it happens, that's very, very difficult. But that's the test. And Rashi says that Hashem does it to righteous people in order to be able to give them a lot of reward later on. Okay? So, in this story, we have again walking 3 more times. And I want you to look at it. Okay? Abraham prepares whatever is needed in order to bring Yitzchak as an offering. He takes wood, right, and so on. And in page 103, verse number 6, the Torah tells us as follows. And Abraham took the wood for the offering and placed it on Yitzchak, his son. He took in his hand the fire and the knife, and the two of them went together. Now, Abraham knows where he's walking to. He's walking to offer Yitzchak as an offering. Yitzchak doesn't know yet anything. He's going with his father. He knows, obviously, he's going to offer offerings. But who will be the korban? Who will be brought as an offering? Yitzchak doesn't know. Still, what does the Torah say? The two of them went together. Obviously, they are going together. We know it from what's written before. Why does the Torah tell it to us again? So Rashi says, Abraham that knows where he's going to, and Yitzchak who doesn't, go with the same way, in the same way. So for Abraham, with all the difficulty of walking for 3 days like this, is even with Hashem. He's ready. Like Yitzchak who knows nothing. Now this is true also for Yitzchak, because if you say later, okay, in verse number 7, okay, Yitzchak asks Abraham, You have wood. You have fire. Where is the lamb? So what does Abraham say? God will seek out for himself the lamb for the offering. My son. It's a hint, my son. Right? And Yitzchak gets it. What's written right after? And the two of them went together. The same expressions that we had before. Vayelchu shnehem yachdav. When Yitzchak didn't know. Now when Yitzchak does know, the two of them are ready and going with the same commitment to do the will of Hashem. But there is a third one. After it's already clear that Yitzchak will not be offered, Hashem tells him, I only told you to put him on the altar, not to offer him. We have again the term of walking. But before getting there, I want you to see something before. Okay? In verse number 5, page 103, before Abraham goes to the mountain with Yitzchak, there is another concept of walking. And it says as follows. And Abraham said to his young men, Eliezer and Ishmael, who came with them. He tells them, stay here by yourselves with the donkey, while I and the lad will go yonder, we will worship and we will return to you. So Abraham separates from Ishmael and Eliezer. And it's not just a physical separation. He's going to offer Yitzchak. They should not be there. They cannot even understand what will take place there. Even though Eliezer was a great person, but still, it's not Abraham and Yitzchak. So he leaves them behind. But the Torah adds, with the donkey. And Rashi says, it's a separation in terms of who are you and who are we. Here there is a separation between the Jewish people and the other nations. You are nations that have more to do with the chomer, with the material. Chamor, a donkey is called chamor in Hebrew, coming from chet mem resh, what means physicality. So Abraham, by going to offer Yitzchak, something that only he and Yitzchak can ascend to, he indicates that this is a separation between the Jewish nation and the rest of the nations. Fine? So there is a separation. Now let's go now to the story. Okay? After Yitzchak and Abraham are coming back from Moriah, from the mountain. So if you look in verse number 19, the Torah tells us, Abraham returned to his young men, to Ishmael and Eliezer, and they stood up and went together to Beersheba. It's the opposite of what was written before. Before it was written that he separated from them, right? And it was a separation between the Jewish people and Ishmael and Eliezer. And this separation stays forever. So what is this? They were going together that the Torah adds when the Torah says that they walked back to the land of Israel. So one of the commentaries explains so beautifully. Abraham and Yitzchak are coming for a place of going through the most difficult test and succeeding in doing it exactly the way Hashem wanted. No questions, no hesitation, full commitment with tremendous love to Hashem. They are coming back now to the two people that they left behind, Ishmael and Eliezer. Most people at this point would feel arrogant, would feel, who are you and who are we? At least to a certain extent. The Torah tells us, Yitzchak and Abraham, Abraham and Yitzchak did not feel any superiority to the two people. There is a separation that is needed because they have one role, and Eliezer and Ishmael have another, and Abraham understands exactly what's the difference between a Jew and a non-Jew, and it's an essential difference. And that's okay. You have to know it because this indicates to you what you have to do and who you are. But in terms of feeling Arrogance doesn't exist. Not by Abraham and not by Yitzhak. They go together with the lens as if they didn't pass a test. So if you look of all the examples that we said so far about the journeys of Abraham, we see a fascinating story of going, walking, many journeys. And that's the essence of Abraham. We are told, and it's famous, that angels are called omdim, beings that are standing. Whatever they are when they are created, this is what they are forever. Not so by Abraham. Not so by Yitzhak. It should not be so for any human being. But as we know, mankind failed to fulfill its purpose, and Abraham had to be chosen to be the one to bring the veil to where it's supposed to be. And this journey is an ongoing journey, hopefully of ascent. And Abraham is setting up the stage for it. He's going from one test to another test, from one test to another test. The further the test, the later the test, the harder. And he passes all of it and lives up to the challenge. Journeys towards Yerushalayim, towards closeness to Hashem. That's the life of Abraham, despite all the difficulties. Okay, basically, this is the mission Hashem gives him, and this is what Abraham accomplishes. I want you to see that this is the mission that Hashem gives him. Okay? I want you to go, please, to page 73. Page 73. Page 73 is the famous story of Hashem commanding Abraham to circumcise himself. What completed him, perfected him. And as a preface to the story, in verse number 1, page 73, chapter 17, verse number 1, page 73, Hashem tells Abraham, when Abraham was 99 years old, Hashem appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am Kel Shakai, walk before me and be perfect. So we have again walk. This is what we are looking for in this class, right? Hashem tells Abraham, he defines his mission as walk before me and be perfect. I want you to look at the Hebrew. To walk, to go in Hebrew is lech, right? Like in the beginning of Lech Lecha, and like in the story of the Akedah, Hashem told him, Lech. Here Hashem doesn't say, Lech lefanai, walk before me. The Torah says, Hithalech lefanai. What's the difference between Lech and Hithalech? Lech is a one-time thing. Telling you go, and it's fine. When we say, Ithalech, it means constantly, on an ongoing basis. That's how Hashem defines the mission of Abraham. You walk in front of me, right? And you become perfect. What does it mean, walk in front of me? Right? What's the word lefanai, in front of me, is? The Sforno explains it very, very beautifully. Let's maybe first bring Rashi. Rashi says that Abraham did not need help in his journey. He invested all of himself in it, and he like walked before Hashem. While by Noach, it's written the other way around. Et ha'elokim italech Noach. Viv Hashem, Noach walked. Hashem like helped him in his journey. Abraham is greater. But the Sforno says, Italech lefanai, is constantly look to me. See me. See what I do and emulate. A, see me. Come to believe in the right way. Understand God to the extent that a human being can. And see, learn who I am. by seeing how I conduct myself in this world and follow. And that's where the kindness of Abraham came from, because so Hashem is the ultimate giver. He gives life to everybody and gives the ability to exist to everybody. So he understood this is what Hashem wants, and that's what he adapted, that's what he emulated. And when Eliezer comes to the house of Rivka, and he tells about the mission that he was sent to accomplish by Abraham, he tells them that Abraham told him, Hashem, that I walked in front of him, swearing his name, and go and find a wife to my son. So Abraham defines himself in this way as well. Hashem, the God, Asher ithalachti, that constantly I walked in front of him. So we see a beautiful picture of a human being, Abraham, who starts a way of life that we obviously have to emulate and follow. It was developed further by Yitzhak and then by Yaakov, by the tribes, and we are on the same journey till today of walking in front of Hashem, constantly trying to ascend, to go further and further, never saying it's enough, constantly to aim for more, and with all of it, understand that it's Hashem who is accomplishing, not feel any arrogance, and remain the same as we were before we passed the tests. The Gerer Rebbe of today explains, and it's written in others for him too, that Abraham didn't have an easy life. Neither did Yitzhak, neither did Yaakov. The life of Abraham, 10 tests, leave everything behind, be totally committed to me, whatever I say is the only thing you have to do, and also when it's very hard. For a person of kindness to send away his son, for a person of kindness to offer his son as an offering. Not an easy job. But Abraham, even though he had a very difficult life, he was totally committed and totally happy with the journey he's walking on. And he says, this is preparation, a preparation for our generations. Because the term vayered, going down, is really describing our situation. If we look at what we are experiencing now, right, when the whole world is against us, when we don't know what tomorrow will bring, when the offerings of Jewish people are on a story of a daily basis, and it's so, so painful, it's very hard to think what will be, and how will we pass the test, okay? So I want to refer you to how Hashem indicates to Abraham to do it. If you go to page 67. It's where Hashem tells Abraham in the famous covenant that he made between the pieces about Jewish history. It's written that Abraham saw, if you look at verse number 12, right? It was a vision, right? He saw dread, great darkness fell upon him. And our sages say that Hashem showed him all four exiles that his children will experience. And obviously, it's very scary. Obviously, it's very painful, right? Abraham also gives him the way to be able to handle it, to be able to go through the tests and survive and fulfill his mission, okay? So in verse number 7, Hashem tells Abraham, page 67, verse number 7, he said to him, I am Hashem who brought you out of Ur Kasdim. You have already an experience with me, right? I took you out of Ur Kasdim. The Nimrod wanted to kill you because of your belief in me. Miraculously, you were saved. To give you his land, to inherit it. Okay? And then he tells him, just a second, even before, right, he tells him in verse number one, after these events, the war between the four and five kings that Abraham won miraculously, the word of Hashem came to Abraham in a vision saying, fear not, Abraham. I'm going to tell you about very difficult things that your children will go through. Right? Dread. Great fear. Don't worry. Why? So Hashem says, fear not, Abraham. I am a shield for you. Your reward is very great. So on a simple level, I'll protect you. I'm your shield. Don't worry. The end will be good. You'll get a lot of reward. But I want again to go to the Hebrew. I am a shield. Let's see the Hebrew. If I would have asked to translate the English to Hebrew, I would say, Ani magen lach. I will protect you. I'll be your shield. I is Ani. Which word for Ani is written in the Pasuk? Anochi magen lach. Why Anochi and not Ani? It creates the association with Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Otzoticha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, which is the first of the Ten Commandments, where we are told, believe in Hashem. Hashem gives us the secret of going through such times successfully in terms of passing the tests. I am Hashem, your God. If you believe that everything that happens to you as an individual, to you as a nation, is coming from me, the loving Father who cares about you, who chose you, who gave you the Torah, you'll be able to pass everything and anything. And I think we can say it from our own experience, going through very hard times now, for over a year, we can say that what holds us, what gives us the ability to go ahead in the face of all the difficulties, is our knowledge that it's the doing of Hashem. It's the day of election in America today. We know what we prefer. We are quite scared from other possibilities. Do we really know what will be for the best? We don't know. We think we have a preference. And when we believe that's better, we have to do whatever we can, that it will happen. But who will be chosen is not our decision. Hashem will decide. And whatever it is, we have to believe that it will be for the best. It's very interesting. The candidate that we would like to be chosen is speaking in the last days in ways that we don't like. Right? Speaking to Muslims in the ways that we don't like. We don't know what's good, what's wrong, what's not. What we have to believe is whatever happens, as difficult as it is, the worry we should leave for Hashem. He takes care of us. Our goal, and it's not easy to do it, very not easy to do it, our goal is to see what these times are for us in terms of spirituality. What is the test spiritually and what can we do in order to pass it? If a person is totally committed to it, as Abraham was, as Sarah was, as our Avot indicated to us, then we have the ability to successfully pass the test. And then the stage of your reward will be great, will be seen soon as well. So the journey of Abraham is the journey of the Jewish nation. It's an ongoing journey. Every generation, every human being has different things that are presented to him that are a call for walk further. Don't stick to where you are spiritually. This is an opportunity to grow and become better, develop further, even if it's going down to Egypt. Not only when you come back from Egypt with the money, even when you walk down to Egypt and you don't have to pay for your loan, for your inn, for your food. You are with Hashem, is with you. If we remind ourselves that Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Hashem is with us, we are told that Hashem will protect us even if we won't be worthy. That's the power of trusting Hashem. When we trust Hashem full-heartedly, miracles happen for us. And in this difficult year, we see this too. It's a very difficult year. We experience things that are so painful, but we see also unbelievable miracles. And obviously, it's in the merit of those among us who trust Hashem full-heartedly and remember what is our mission at the moment. Remember the Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I'm Hashem your God. Trust Him. Feel that we are in His hands and look for ways to do good under these circumstances. When we come to the peak of this level, in terms of our relationship to Hashem, it doesn't matter. Good times, difficult times. We believe that it's all for our best. And the more we do so, the more we'll get, even free of merit, the help of Hashem, and eventually we'll see the end of times where everybody will recognize that it's us who brought the world to purpose. I'll finish here and open up for questions.
Before we open up, I just want to make an announcement. This class is Le'ilu Nishmas Me'ira Chaya Nechama Bracha Bas David Mordechai. I'll open up to questions. Okay, you should be able to unmute yourselves. Yes.
Any question? Okay, so we'll end here and see each other in Yirtzeh Hashem next week. Have a good week. We should all have a very good week.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Shabbat Shalom, everybody.